Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague and friend Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, traveling to Canada to accept the award, the significant award of the King Charles III Coronation Medal from, he is the King of Canada, Charles is, and this is from Canada to Gregory. Gregory, congratulations. This gives us a chance to say that the King Charles Report is a great pleasure for me, because you're guiding me through what might have been if the conversations that went poorly in the 18th century had gone in a positive fashion of reintegrating the United States with the British Empire. It didn't. So Canada, our neighbor to the north, is part of the Commonwealth, and here we are, the ignorant John, of what it is to be a member of a kingship. What does this medal mean to you, Gregory?
Well, it means a lot, John, personally. It has no intrinsic value other than it builds bonds between citizens and the King and the Commonwealth in this instance. So I'm delighted and very honoured to receive it, because I don't think many Australians received the Canadian Coronation Medal. Australia itself did not issue a Coronation Medal on the accession of the King, which is unfortunate, because I think it would have built a lot of ties, particularly as we saw King Charles going to Australia with Queen Camilla just before the recent CHOGM, Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Apia, Samoa. So it was a delight to get that medal from the Canadian government, which on behalf of the King of Canada. And it was delightful. And I'm actually in town tonight for the Royal Canadian Geographical Society annual dinner with my wife and publisher, who's also a fellow of the society as well now. And that's something which is important, because it is a royal society, and King Charles and the Princess Royal, Princess Anne, have paid a lot of close attention to the development of these societies, like the Royal Geographical Society in London, the sister organization of the Royal Canadian Geographical Society and the like. And it sparks an interest in, particularly with Canadians, and in polar research and science and exploration. And what I do is I bring to that a joint endeavor to link the Commonwealth in polar strategic issues with Antarctica of equal importance to the Arctic from a global strategic futures point of view. So that's what we're talking up about here today as well.
I want to take this moment, because the King Charles Report is something that's important to this show, to acknowledge that the reports of the King's health have not been running in a positive direction, but he's extremely positive and out and about all the time, though the remedy for his cancer is exhausting and undermines anyone's strength. And yet he keeps going. The trip to Australia and Samoa had to tire him out. It would tire anybody out. What is that, 26 hours on a plane? So, I mean, you recently did that, Gregory. You know better than I do.
Mm.
And he continues to work back home. And there's no telling how long we'll have him, so I'm glad we have him now.
Well, there's no question about that, and I'm hoping, and in fact fairly confident, that we'll have him around for a good few years yet. He has returned to London and to work on a full-time basis, as he said. He said he's taken enough time off his day job for treatment, and he's, well, still continue his medical treatment. He'll continue his day job. But what the visit to Australia did, and what the chairing of the CHOGM, the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Apia, Samoa, was all about, was showing that he is really taken strongly to the role of a global statesman. His role with the Commonwealth, which is 55 countries and several billion people, is one which takes him out of the orbit of British politics. So I know Americans like to call him the King of England, but in fact, his role is as the King of the United Kingdom of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, but also as separately as King of a number of the Commonwealth countries and separately as King of Canada, King of New Zealand, King of Australia. And this CHOGM meeting showed how adept he has become at dealing with broad global issues and winning the support and sympathy of people around the world. This is something which politicians can't really do. He's built a level of diplomacy which has been immensely beneficial to Britain, but he is well and truly above the British political scene and not controllable by the British Prime Minister. And this is very important to note, that he has a role which is as an international statesman. He was able to rebuild a lot of European ties with his state visit to Germany, where he addressed the Bundestag in German, to France, where he addressed the joint houses of Parliament, the Assemblée Nationale and the Senate in French, and was greeted there by continuous outbursts of Vive le Roi, something which hadn't been heard in the French Parliament for a couple of hundred years, or at least 150. And he is moving around the world, building a new shape, if you like. And it's a very much more informal shape than we saw under Queen Elizabeth, and one where Queen Elizabeth was, because of her age, was constrained to a large degree to staying in Britain. King Charles is making sure that he is meeting people around the world, and we've seen the style of his meeting as being immensely warm and informed and in touch with the concerns of the average person, whether in Africa or Australia or the South Pacific, or for that matter in Europe.
We connect King Charles with Great Britain, and that takes us to AUKUS. One of the singular achievements of these last years is Australia, the United Kingdom, and the U.S. coming together for Phase 1, Phase 2. And I believe that that alone, just the assertion of it, discomfited, actually, it rattled the People's Republic of China. Do I overstate that, Gregory?
No, you don't overstate that, because AUKUS potentially is the greatest single strategic alliance of the 21st century, because it brings together in a common operating framework three countries which are already deeply integrated by language, political norms, military command and control structures and technologies. They are interoperable powers, and with this they operate in the Arctic, the Antarctic, the North and South Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, and the North and South Pacific, and in space together, joint operations. So this is really a significant alliance. What we've had until the elections yesterday, we had three heads of government in Australia, the United States, and Great Britain, who were more or less indifferent to the strategic consequences of this alliance, which was given to them on a plate. And so what we might now see, I think, with a Trump administration coming in, is far greater attention being shown to AUKUS, which is being structured on a first among equals basis, as far as the US is concerned, where they are not responsible for the welfare of the other two alliance members. And this is an alliance which can project influence and maintain, if you like, the common seaways better than anything we've seen before. It's not another NATO, for example, and it is one in which we see technology, because of recent legislation, now flowing in all directions between the three partners. We will possibly, when the Canadians change government next year, we'll see a strong, I believe, conservative government under then Prime Minister Poilievre joining AUKUS, not to get nuclear submarines, but to exchange technology and further enhance intelligence and the like. And I have had meetings up here in Ottawa in the last 24 hours on this topic, as to how Canada could be introduced to AUKUS without focusing on the nuclear submarine aspect, but focusing on other forms of technology transfer and common use of intelligence in a way in which the Five Eyes Agreement has not been able to do in recent years. So it's actually very, very significant. So you've got the, AUKUS somehow adding Canada. There's talk, of course, in the US of adding Japan to that, but Japan won't get into a formal alliance structure like that, but it is cooperating on a bilateral basis with particularly with the US and Australia and Britain, and we'll add Canada to that list as well.
Gregory, a puzzle. The conversation between Seoul and Tokyo, between Kishida, the previous prime minister, and President Yoon of South Korea, took place in presence of the President of the United States at Camp David. And there was even talk at the time of an Asian NATO. I believe that both attended as observers the NATO meeting in Europe. Does that make sense? And would that integrate with AUKUS? Is all this something that the Trump administration can pursue?
Well, they could pursue it. I don't think they will. And I don't think the Asian countries, Japan and South Korea, are particularly interested in that model. Japan, Australia and so on, which have been outside the NATO orbit because of the geography of North Atlantic Treaty Organization, have consistently attended NATO summits in Europe and have cooperated with them. But the relationship you've got now between the UK and Japan on the exchange of aerospace technologies, among other things, is quite independent of NATO. Also, NATO is a moribund institution which cannot redefine itself. It can't rebuild itself since the collapse of the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union collapsed, a lot of NATO old cold warriors just, if you like, scrubbed the reference to the Soviet Union from the purpose or mission statement of NATO and replaced that with Russia and drove away any opportunity of getting Europe and NATO to integrate with the post-Soviet Russian government. That would have solved a lot of the problems which we are now facing today, but the old cold warriors didn't want to do that. And you saw President Reagan and Prime Minister Thatcher working to build a post Cold War relationship with Russia, which would be beneficial to all and would ease the prospect of conflict. But that was rejected by almost all the governments we saw in Europe and the US and the UK after Thatcher and Reagan. They were dominated after that by the governments were dominated by the old cold warriors or the neocons, and frankly drove a division back into Europe, you know, if you like, lowered the Iron Curtain again, but this time it was to stop Russia integrating economically with the West. And that's had unfortunate consequences, including particularly the Russia-Ukraine conflict, which was constantly driven by this talk of bringing Ukraine into NATO, which would not have even been a viable discussion had it not been for this fear-mongering, which has constantly been built up for a variety of reasons, about Russia. So Russia was recreated as the boogeyman again. And in 2004, my organization held a summit in Ukraine, in Kiev, to basically talk about the potential for Ukraine to become a member of NATO. And it was clear at that time that that would have been counterproductive, not just for Ukraine, but for NATO and for Russia and the Eastern European states as well, as it has proven to be, because we saw presidents like particularly Bill Clinton,
right,
wanting to drive NATO as a tool to push Russia out of the scheme.
We need to go to the Middle East immediately. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs in Canada for the Charles III Coronation Medal. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.